Good morning. I am here to present to you, it's called The Walk the Walk, a public school intervention for worksite wellness. This was part of a collaboration between the Buffalo City School District and Buffalo State College Department of Health and Wellness, and my graduate student, Peter Rankus, was not able to get proper funding to come and help present. So basically, if you weren't here in the beginning, it was announced that I was a CDC trainer for the School Health Index. And so my dissertation research a few years back was about the coordinated approach to school health. And if you look at the model, and whether you're familiar or not, staff and faculty wellness is one of the eight parts of a coordinated approach to school health. And so in this collaboration, the student and I decided to do this project. One of the other reasons the school district is a CDC, American School Health funded district that's a large urban district they're looking at what are the barriers to implementing the systematic change called coordinated approach to school health. So they're doing a lot of things to build infrastructure to implement. And the first thing, when you do a school health index, typically the results on faculty staff wellness range from 4% to 20% on the scorecard. So everybody wants to start with that one, that component first, because they can see the largest changes. So that being said, school health index was done, and basically we followed through with this as a pilot. 60 sites are in this school district, and this is one of the high schools where we started to implement something to take to the school board to show that there are positive things that can happen with worksite wellness. So factually and importantly, we know that obesity is a big problem, and some of the related chronic diseases that follow with that are listed. And one of the goals of Healthy People 2010 was to reduce 15% to 15% the prevalence of obesity in adults. So we kind of looked at that as one of the guiding goals or objectives. Expenditures, you can see for obesity, they range from somewhere in $87 million in Wyoming to $7.7 billion in California, and New York is somewhere in between. Almost 24% of adults are considered obese in 2005, and of course we know that is going up. Why the focus on faculty staff? Well, some surveys have been conducted, and in a 2010 poll of nearly 600 companies, with 350 of the largest in the United States, they incorporate some kind of disease management or health improvement program. Well, school sites can also be considered work sites. And usually they aren't looked at and focused so much as larger businesses. 145 million adults are considered overweight, and there are about 74 million that are considered obese, and that's about one-third of our working age population. So if we look at medical costs and we look at, you know, Medicare, Medicaid, we know that that's taking a huge burden on our healthcare expenditure. Also, and just three, asthma, diabetes, and hypertension, look at 164 million lost work days, and that amounts to nearly $30 billion. So we see, we're building the case, and we know that, you know, there are a lot of things that we can do to impact the healthcare dollar. One of the reasons that I put hypertension on as a factual piece is this program targeted high blood pressure. And so we looked at, you know, 74.5 million people have hypertension, and that costs us somewhere in the $76.6 billion in healthcare services and missed days at work. Our research question was looked at, does a 10-week faculty staff physical activity and blood pressure self-monitoring program improve physical activity and readiness to change regarding diet, body weight, physical activity, blood pressure self-monitoring, and stress management behaviors? Now, we've heard about a blood pressure program prior to my presentation that was far more rigorous, but if you look at a school district setting, you have one school nurse typically that may be in one building but might have to travel to two throughout the school week, and who services somewhere between 750-plus students in a large urban area. So to ask a nurse to do blood pressure readings is just not going to happen in a school district. So we created a self-monitoring type of program. Program purposes were threefold. First, to see if participants could move on the stages of change, to increase physical activity, and to encourage weekly blood pressure self-monitoring. And in that self-monitoring program, we were looking to increase the number of people who just knew their blood pressure, and then to also decrease systolic and diastolic pressures. This was a quantitative approach. It was a pilot again, and it was a pre-post test design. There were four parts to our tool. The first part, the tool had 49 items. The first part looked at demographics. The second part had 9 items that looked at overall health, and it asked questions about, specifically, did they know their blood pressure? Could they give us the numbers? Were they on meds? Were they under doctor care for high blood pressure? And then did they have family history of hypertension, diabetes, heart disease, or high cholesterol? And the third part of the tool looked at the stages of change, and there were 5 items, and 1 item per question relating to healthy diet, healthy body weight, physical activity, stress management, and blood pressure. And then we used the IPAC tool. And this included 27 items. We used the long form, and it assessed job-related physical activity, transportation physical activity, housework, house maintenance, and caring for family type of physical activity, and recreation, sport, and leisure time. And then there were 2 items that were looking at time spent sitting. And so the IPACT has been used successfully and reports similar information regarding reliability and validity. This setting, as I mentioned, had 60 buildings. We looked at the hospitality high school, and that had 55 employees. We had 25 usable pre-post tests and individuals who started the program and finished the program, which was a 45% response rate. For us, for the district never having any program whatsoever, and the district not really ever teaching health education to its students, this was a huge response rate for us. And so, just so you know, they're looking at a full-scale implementation, and they needed some data or program to get started. The self-monitoring blood pressure stations, as you see, they were trifold on both the right and left side of the trifold. It showed employees step-by-step how to put the cuffs on. The cuffs that we had purchased were available for 2 different sizes, and it was medium to large, and then the extra large size. We didn't, when we surveyed, visually surveyed, we didn't really see that we would need the use for a small cuff. And then we used a pedometer. Now, I know scientifically rigorous that that's not the best device, but we didn't have any money. So we did a worksite wellness check, and in New York State, it was funded during this study for $500, and it's called a heart check, and they have to do a post-test. So because they did the heart check, they got $500 to buy some incentive prizes. The method also included 4 30-minute education workshops that had to be conducted at the end of the workday. And we looked at exercise and blood pressure, exercise and heat sun-related conditions, exercise and weight management, as well as exercise and heart disease. The incentives, if they did all 10 readings per week, they received a Walk the Walk t-shirt. And you can see the other incentives. I just want to say that we had implemented this in another school district with a controlled study with 4 sites, and we found in that study that starting off with 10,000 steps a day set them up for failure. So we tiered it in the first 4 weeks and built them to the 10,000 steps per day. And I'm sure you're going to say, what's a Delta Sonic car wash ticket? Well, in Western New York, it's you drive in, and when there's so much snow, it automatically cleans your car. So people really like the last 2 incentive prizes. Demographically, we had about 80% were females, 63% were white. Most were, about 87% were in the 40 to 59 age group, 80% were married. Income level was astronomical if you look at the amount of money that they're making. 52% made $50,000 to $74,000 per year. 21% made $100,000 or more. 14% were in the $75,000 to $99,000, and you can read the rest. Education level, 79% had some postgraduate or professional degree. 97% worked full-time. 63 had professional job titles, and 17 were managers or supervisors. 73% said their overall general health was good, and 76% indicated familial history with hypertension. A little over half had history of heart disease. 60 had a history of diabetes, and 52 had a history of hypercholesterolemia. The results of the study, 35% didn't know at baseline what their blood pressure score was. 48% change occurred as a result of this program. On average, systolic dropped 4.8 millimeters of mercury, and diastolic also dropped 7.49. 31% of employees at pretest reported having blood pressure, having hypertension, and that dropped about 20%. And then the last two are kind of a little confusing, but if you look at it, 32% reported being on meds at the pretest, and it increased to 8%. What that tells us is that people found out they had high blood pressure and went on meds. And the second bullet kind of indicates the same thing. Now 8% more are seeing a physician as a result of the intervention. The stages of change results, as you see, every area improved. Healthy diet was about a half a stage. Healthy body weight was almost half a stage. Physical activity was just over half a stage. Stress management was nearly one full stage. And the largest change occurred in blood pressure. Physical activity based on the IPAC tool. We assessed all of the areas that I mentioned previously. If you look, job-related physical activity, we had two areas that really didn't show improvement. But that's okay because, you know, we don't target that they're doing this intervention during their work. Transportation, the only two areas were days in a motor vehicle and minutes in a motor vehicle, and we would have liked to have seen that go down, but it was only a 10-week program. Everything else showed improvement, as well as household, house maintenance, and family physical activity, recreation and leisure time. All those showed increased physical activity. And controversial was the time spent sitting during the weekday went up, and on the weekdays it went down, or the weekends. So when we looked at that, we thought maybe they're being more productive because they're being more physically active during the day. Blood pressure, of course, you know what the goals were. 50% more participants knew their blood pressure. We saw significant drops. And with regard to the stages of change, all of the areas showed improvement. And the physical activity, I mentioned the areas that weren't so great that we'd like to see go on and improve. So, you know, looking at worksite wellness initiatives, I guess what I'd like you to remember is that school sites are also work sites too. And we need to do some things because they employ a large portion of the workforce. And more emphasis should be placed on schools as work sites. And they have facilities right there. And to coordinate and do things to eliminate barriers for those employees is critical. However, as I mentioned also in my bio, for 10 years I was a faculty staff employee wellness coordinator for my school district, and we weren't trained in how to evaluate programs, and we weren't trained on how to collect baseline data, and we need to do things to help personnel that are there to do these skills because they don't have trained evaluators, and what a great place for universities to step in and help. So some things that went, you know, not so great. The fact that it's self-report and sometimes it's hard for people to tell, were they in light, moderate, vigorous physical activity? How long were they during that week in that category? And so then they want to give, you know, results that approve and look good to you. And we got to remember that during a week, it's multifaceted. And there's daily variation in levels of physical activity. So, you know, it was a low population, but we did see significant types of improvements for this population. And one of the biggest barriers for them in participating in school sites that I've found in my experiences, when you first go into the school, they say, who wants this information? How is it gonna affect my insurance? Where is it gonna go? And what impact is it gonna have? And why are you doing it? So you gotta be able to overcome those barriers if you're gonna work with schools. And if you have a person that's doing them, they're wearing many other hats, and so getting in there and finding that person to help when you're doing a study like this is really important to, you know, kind of figure out how you're going to compensate them with time or some other kind of way. So in the future, what we like to do is have something that forecasts dollar savings, because school boards are going to need to see that dollar saving amount. And I see I hit 16 minutes. So what we did is put that IPAC on a Scantron form and made it much easier and more successful for schools to analyze their data. So that's really important too. And the coordinated approach to school health, faculty staff wellness is really important. One of the procedures on the display board was that they clear it out after they're done, unless they didn't care about it. And we put it in an area of their faculty room where we put like a draping thing where they could walk back behind it. But having space on site is real important, and finding that space is so critical. And one of the other things that I didn't mention is the nurse was the backup. If they found a high reading on their self-monitoring, the nurse would then be more than happy to take an actual reading. And then she did the referral, and she kept track for us on how many people got referred and went back on meds and stuff like that.
This may be for all of you. I'd be interested to know how much involvement there was with the health plans or the medical community, primary care physicians with your programs. And also, it kind of piggybacks on the last question, and that is, what was there any concern about PHI with the programs in terms of any kind of involvement or relationship with the plans and so forth? Was there any kind of concerns about personal health information? Can you share that?
I can say that when we tried to work with employers on the tracking component, every time we talked about surveying employee health behaviors, they thought that we were saying they should know who was smoking, and they would completely freak out. And we would always have to say, no, anonymous, de-identified. We just want you to know your grade. And then they could talk with us about it, but they would, their response was typically, no, I don't.